Joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB 3.185 and 2.390 5050 also, and we're being simulcast tonight around the world on worldwide internet. I'm glad you're tuning in tonight. Got a great program in the way of word explanation. You know, it's languages that brought confusion, and it's confusion that brought us the Bible in certain instances. Words that's mistranslated, we're going to get into that tonight, and the word we tried actually to get this message in during the storm that we had coming through here a couple of nights ago. And it was terrible. Ladies and gentlemen, I have never seen anything like it to come through our country. It devastated. It seemed like the Southland from beginning down in Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, up into Tennessee, and it was back North Carolina, a lot of loss of life. All over. Over 200 people this week. Yahweh's talking to this land, and we need to come up to speed on understanding because of the misunderstandings what's got us in this mess. Tonight I'm going to show you one of the things that the Christian church, in taking the mistranslations of the word in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there are scriptures that certainly now look as if they're saying that none Israelite strangers could become circumcised, keep the Passover, and respect the laws of Moses, and thus become as one born in the land. Now this is a matter which is being questioned here tonight by Pastor Buddy, and the immediate necessity is to look at the word stranger. Now, I've tried, like I say, a couple of times to get this message in so that you would know, and I want to finish it out on the word stranger, the word foreigner, the word sojourner, and alien. And both the Hebrew and the Greek of the New Testament, there's many different words loosely translated as strangers, foreigners, and servants. Now, it creates a problem. Our translators have had no system of consistent rendering to the purpose and the meaning of these words. There are strangers who are Israelites and strangers who are not Israelites. And it's very obvious when you do your word surveying and you check, study to see yourself approved, and search the word. In the Old Testament alone, there are 8 words which are translated a stranger. Strangers, foreigner, sojourner, or alien. Now, I'm going to have to clarify, it's very necessary to clarify, where the word applies to a non-Israelite and a condition set by the father, and a word stranger who could be accepted because it's the same bloodline and things of this nature that we have this confusion. In the New Testament, there are 10 words, here's the problem, which are variously translated so that it is clear that each word in its original has a different meaning. Some of the New Testament quotations are from Old Testament origins, and therefore they show a close alliance between the two languages with quite a bit of misunderstanding. What are the different kinds of strangers? Let's find out. The most common misunderstood word is ger, which is translated as strangers 86 times out of the 92 times it occurs in the Old Testament. Now, the meaning of the word is to being an Israelite, but who lives apart from the main body of Israel. That is, living among the land or in the land of other races. The important fact is that this stranger is an Israelite by race. It's not hard to find instances where the translators have translated the same Hebrew word in the same context into 2 different words, and it makes immediate nonsense of those verses which have been translated. So we have to study to show ourselves approved. The main Hebrew word translated stranger, foreigner, and sojourner includes a summation of the meaning of the key terms and the status of the people covered by the terms in the eyes of the law. The summations are based on usage of the word in Scripture as shown throughout the chapters, and the words are Hebrew 40:33 in the Strong's. Now, get that down. It's a noun, the Magar. It's from 1481. In the sense of lodging, a temporary abode, a permanent resident, dwelling, pilgrimage, where the sojourn be a stranger. For example, Genesis 17 and 8 says, the land wherein thou art a stranger. It's used of the places where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dwelled in their travels or their journeys, and we could justly use the term dweller. Now notice this. Hebrews 16:16. Ger. It's a noun. A guest. By implication, a foreigner, an alien, or a sojourner. For example, Genesis 15:13, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. A person of one's own blood or race who is visiting in the distinct or into the district and is not known to the residents of the area, so you'd be a stranger. Israelites who were not present at the covenant sanctification ceremony held in Mount Sinai, such as the descendants of Judah's son, Zerah. Moses named his son Gershom because he was visiting from Egypt and Canaan as opposed to being in exile. The Gershom have equal rights before the law and can accumulate wealth in Israel, and we can use the term kinsman visitor to show that the genetic connection is acceptable before the kinsman who is visiting in the land as non-resident, but is not considered a stranger by blood. Hebrews 21:14. The Zuwar. Z-U-W-R. It's used as a principle with the force of a noun to turn aside, especially for lodging, and hence to be a foreigner, strange, profane, to commit adultery, to come from another man other than Jacob, a place, a fanner, to go away, to become strange. That's the 21:14, the Zohar. Strong's number, Hebrew 84:53, the Tushah, the noun from 34:27, mentioned in Numbers 16:14. No stranger which is not of the seed of Israel. The basic thought is a non-acquaintance and non-relateness, a complete alien with no racial connection. It's one who is not an Israelite, a Shemite, or a Hebrew. This person has no rights or protection under the law and could be killed on sight if found near the temple as an intruder. Therefore, the term alien. Now, this is just as bad. Hebrews number 52:36. The Nikar. It's a noun also from 52:34, which means foreigner, a foreigner, a heathen, an alien, a strange, stranger. For example, in Genesis 17:12, and he that is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, nor of your own immediate family, refers to what is foreign to a family, a tribe, or a nation. Hence, the son of a stranger refers to the son of a foreigner, and these are half-caste Israelites. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to Yahweh speak, saying, Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. In this context, you can see, and you can use the term foreigner, which compared to Genesis 35:2, put away gods, the foreigners which are in the midst of you. That's 52:36, the Nikar. Now, the Hebrew 52:37 is the Nokri. It's an objective from 52:35. Strange in a variety of degrees and application. Foreigner, non-relative, adulterous, different, alien, foreigner, outlandish, stranger. For example, in Judges 19:12, and his master said unto him, we will not turn aside, neither go into the city of a stranger, that is not of the children of Israel. We shall pass on to Gilboa, and compared with Ruth 2:10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, and why shouldest I take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? A foreigner. A person with respect that shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger. Boaz took respect, and his people, because Ruth had come from a different Israelite tribe, although she was a Israelite. Similarly, a strange woman as opposed to one's wife, referred to as an adulteress. In our context, it describes one who is not of Israel, but is a Shemite, or Hebrew, versus an alien, Zoar, harlot in Israelite times, were typically not Israelite women, but were quite similar in appearance because they were broadly related in genetic lines. Thus, he refers to the Hebrew people with whom marriage is forbidden. Canaanites, Moabites, Amorites, and so on and so forth. With whom the Israelites were always led away to other gods. And these people had no rights or privileges in Israel. No rights. No privileges. In the context, you can use the term foreigner. One person, a dweller, but no outlandish, as distinguished from a native citizen, and a temporary inmate, or merge and lodger, resident alien, foreigner, inhabitant, sojourner, stranger. For example, Leviticus 25:6, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid, and for the hard servant, and for the stranger that sojourns among thee. Compare 1 Kings 17 with Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and the majority of the references are to temporary, landless, wage-earner, hence not naturalized. In the context of the lowest, the older, and basically, they had no rights other than access to the cities of refuge. The children of the Tushabab could be brought as a perpetual servant without prospect of redemption and could not hold any position of authority. And in the context, we can use the expression a temporary resident. Each of these terms apply their meanings according to the context, and hence can be used of Israelites as well as other people. Therein lies the problem. The translators have not separated the words that have completely, totally different meanings, and they pause not to give us understanding, and without we study the words individually, we don't know where it's a stranger by blood or a relative by blood that is a foreigner, that is a stranger. For example, Abraham described himself as a sojourner to the sons of Heath. However, our interest in the terms with the reference of the status of non-Israelites within Israel, by example, we look for the universalists who use this word universally, which the Bible says in Exodus 12 concerning the Passover, 7 days shall thou be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, and neither he be a stranger, whether he be a stranger, a kinsman visitor, or born in the land. Now, you could be a stranger and a kinsman. You could be a stranger and an unkinsman. So, these are very necessary to define the word stranger, with eight of them to be considered. Translators confuse the issue, and we're confused when we read because the Strong's is not keyed to jump out at you from the pages of the Bible without you do a word search with an understanding. Again, in Exodus chapter 12, 43, Moses and Aaron was instructed by Yahweh, said, this is the order of the Passover. There shall be no stranger, none alien, or none blooded. It's very deficient in the text. The Hebrew word reads, no son of a stranger, or ben nikar, the son of a foreigner. None shall eat thereof, but every man's servant, or bondservant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, he shall eat thereof. A foreigner, or a hard servant. Strong's number, Hebrews 79:16. A man at wages, by the day or the year, not the same as the bondservant, which is above, shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten, and thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger, a kinsman visitor, shall rest with thee, and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, that all his males be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger, the kinsman visitor, that dwells among you, that comes over to keep the Passover, he is a kinsman, or he is a servant. He only is qualified to eat the Passover when he's circumcised. So then, we have a lot of confusion with the word stranger. Now, if you go to the Living Bible, it actually calls the second pair of strangers foreigners, which is so far off the mark, it's completely misleading, if you understand. The RSV, the Revised Standard Version, calls the first a foreigner and the second a stranger. The first one is wrong, and the second one is only partly right. The kinsman visitor is a stranger, but it does not reveal the racial connection that is present in the Hebrew word. So you got to have that connection as a Hebrew so that he can be racially connected through that word, or you would go away thinking that he was a foreigner or an alien. And the Living Bible, as I say, calls the second pair of strangers foreigners, which is far off the mark. Now, the sincerity of the translators is not the issue. It's a lack of understanding. So, to view the New Testament verses on the same similar subject, we still have pilgrims and strangers and aliens and foreigners. And we've been taught to have presumed that certain things about these words, but the right teachings are in fact the same as presented in the Old Testament, where we base it upon racial covenant. If someone of the same bloodline came in, he could be called a stranger by not having access to the land under the covenant. But bloodline, he'd be racially connected to you, and he would become a brother. If he was circumcised, he could keep the Passover. In the New Testament, the variety of words translated as strangers and foreigners, aliens and pilgrims, the translators did not understand the differences between the different terms for strangers in the Old Testament. Therefore, we have a lot of confusion in the New Testament. For Greek words translated stranger, pilgrim, or sojourner are all halogenes, which is with reference to Strong's, and the words that are relevant to the chapters are defined as this in Greek 2:45. Allotris from Greek 2:43. Another's that is not one's own, foreigner, not aching, hostile, alien, other man's or men's or stranger, belonging to another opposite of one's own, foreign, strange, not of one's group, family, nation, or kingdom, an alien, an enemy, such as referenced in 17:25. It's equivalent to the Hebrew word nikar. And therefore, you use the term foreigner. Estranged. In the Greek, 5:26. To be non-participant. To alienate or to be alien. Shut out of one's fellowship, to be rendered alien, and the condition of the unbelievers is present in a 3/4 state of alienation from the commonwealth, from the love of God, from God himself. Hence, to be shut out from the group, such as in Ephesians 2:12. This is no obvious equivalent for this word in the Hebrew terms, and you can use the term estranged. Separated. Now the word Greek 1927 is epidemo. It's a verb and it's used only twice. To make oneself at home, that is by to reside in a foreign country, dwelling where there is a stranger, to be present among one's people in one's city or one's native land. So you can see these translators have erred without understanding or without studying the word or explaining the words and putting it in common terms where you could sit and read the New Testament. And the word could be described as a stranger, one who is non-blood related, as opposed to one that is blood related and yet be a stranger or live in another country and come to visit. One's acceptable and one is rejected. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this word stranger, to the universalist, those who think that God's salvation includes all races, but when you rightly divide the word stranger, it means nothing to them. That's a universalist who just takes it point blank that everybody in the world, the Bible is written to everybody. There's no such thing. Only in the sense that a stranger can draw near and be saved. Anyone's race is welcome. God will accept you. There's no conditions And so when people read, they read as if the Bible is written to the world and the people of the world, when it is obvious with the word search, and they shall get up above thee very high and shall come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Well, ain't that what's happened in the United States of America, where we are supposed to obey the laws and not to give to the stranger or lend to the stranger or to have anything to do with the stranger? The stranger that we can lend to is the girl. And those of our own race who have become the agents of usury banking and race traders. Usury banking began in Nimrod's Babylon as mercantile or commercial law. These agents of Babylon commerce are the prostitute servants of aliens who worship strange gods. The rich rules over the poor. The borrower is a servant to the lender, according to Proverbs 22:7. And so, unless we discern the word stranger, in this case strangers, we have to define, it keeps us from mixing, adulterating, or even to commercially or economically mix and mingle with these types of people who were commanded to have nothing to do with them. Now, you know that Arab banks do not charge interest. Islamic law forbids it. Now, it's ironic that those living in the land of ancient Babylon, which is the birthplace of usury, condemn it today. Mammon is the god of wealth. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Matthew 6:24. Now the question is, and the charge is, when you discriminate, you have lost your 501(c). Because these who control the flow of your thinking make it mandatory for you to be non-discriminatory. The question is, can the other races be saved? One of the greatest travesties of the divine message is the distortion of the Great Commission in carrying the gospel of salvation to the Northie, or the stranger. Remember that the law was to be read before all Israel. And by Ger, which is strangers, not Northie strangers, of Deuteronomy 31:12, let us not forsake God's will. Let us keep his laws and his statutes and his commandments. You can take the savage out of the jungle, but you cannot take the jungle out of the savage. This is why some people have a hard time comprehending. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine the vain thing? They imagine that the Northie stranger to be their equals, and some better. But in eyes of the Father that gave you these laws in the words of stranger, shows his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation or race, or holds anyone responsible other than the Ger, or those who belong to a particularly blood race called Israel. the Nokri have not known these laws. Psalms 147:19. You only have I known of all the families or the races of the earth. Amos 3:2. But the world has adopted the Bible as their own, written to them, as well as to Israel. Yet they acknowledge that the Jews, which is not Israel, is God's chosen people. See, that's the confusion. Then they confuse the meaning of the word, and they'll have you worshiping evil as good, and good as evil. The heathens rage. They can't understand. Now, if you anticipated that people would act like they do, because we're warned that wolves will masquerade as shepherds, while representing the welfare of these strangers, according to Matthew 7:15. Do you think that Yahweh anticipates the kind of animal behavior out of certain groups of people? Of course. He told us that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. That is why the promised land requires ethnic cleansing. The stranger in Canaan was not thoroughly eradicated, and consequently, Israel went whoring after their gods. We're still being punished for not dealing with a stranger as God prescribed in Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're in the same predicament today. A country is being torn apart with this strife, and people who are Nurki instead of Gur, but accepted as one people that the whole world, other than go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Indeed, America is Beulah land, but America today is not preparing herself to serve Yahweh, not separating. Instead of that, we are joining in with the world. We're becoming like the world of the sheep, grazing with the wolves. But wolves don't graze. They eat sheep. Only the Gurs would not recognize this. And therefore they're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and it brings us to full circle to the judgment that are upon our country today. Our religious and economic operations deal with everyone equal, calling good evil and evil good. It's critical that the manifest destiny of true Israel be put in order, and that all other races or strangers are separated and removed from the land, else leaving the sheep with the wolves to graze together. Sheep graze, and wolves eat sheep. The day will come that there's no sheep left. Brings us full circle to the judgment. Here we are, facing judgment. Folks, I've lived in the Southland for over 70 years. I have never seen the righteous forsaken in that 70 years until lately. If my people who are called by my name will refuse to humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the melting pot is okay as long as the melting pot is the same melt. But when we melt different melts into the melting pot and try to put it together, all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot put this together again. Yahweh is bringing down America. We become pacified with the arguments of racial equality when we know better. Borrowing money from bankers throughout our history, the bankers get rich, the sheep become poor, the sheep graze on what's left, the wolves feast on the sheep until there's none left, and except these days be shortened, as it was in the days of Noah, there shall be no sheep left. For the wolves will have devoured the whole flock. Pulpit pawnbrokers. Who are they? They're the ones that tells us that God loves everybody and God's word is written to everybody with no interpretation. There's no such thing as a stranger. There's no such thing as separating one from this. We're all together. We're all one. God loves everybody. These pulpit pun brokers are promising you delivery by cheating you out of your goods. They feast on what they beat you out of. The money changers are at work. The users of the usury, which is just as bad. We're not to do this, ladies and gentlemen. There is laws that govern our paying usury and to whom. These are masters of manipulation. And the melting pot has become a boiling pot of cannibal stew. God commanded our ancient ancestors to exterminate the alien strangers that I've just told you about. Else they would threaten the sanctuary or the hallowed ground by them just being in the proximity, and they would defile the land and we would follow their gods. What makes people think today that talking to strangers is permissible? Not only today do we talk to strangers, we marry them. We have children by them. And the pulpit pawnbrokers promise us liberty when they themselves are servants of the corruption that they give out on their Sunday best. My people, who will not study these words, who will not choose only that which Yahweh chooses, to fellowship only those who Yahweh fellowshiped, and to keep yourself unspotted from all these others who he said to refrain from have nothing to do with their evil works, but destroy them. Instead of that, we've opened the gate, and now the land is stewing. Will Yahweh's people be saved? Will there be any left when he comes back, except he shortened the days? There shall be no righteous ger. The original to whom Yahweh said, go only to the lost sheep, go not to the Gentiles. But we have these stewing pots, where they come together and promise you liberty. They mingle together. They learn the works of the heathen. Yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters to devils. They shed innocent blood. And the principles of cause and effect has never changed or softened over time. It was truth then, it's truth now. We are stirring the pot. Our children are being offered up with the devils that they're given to. Our public education system is encouraging us to come together. But the children of darkness have never been anything but liars, deceivers, devils, serpents. And today we are dancing with the devil. And if you expect the music that is playing today is not going to change very soon and quickly, just like it did last week, in the Southland, woe unto you, Southland, for you've gone in the way of Cain. You've run greedily in the error of Balaam. You love money, and the love of money, which usury is the cardinal sin. And except you repent, you shall perish. And the next time someone asks you if you're saved, tell them as long as they're strangers with their strange gods and their passing of hate crime laws against the righteous, we will never be saved from our enemies until we destroy the enemies from among us. Being saved doesn't mean going to heaven or to rapture up with all these that's promising you liberty. It's coming for the Baal priest, the pawnbrokers of the pulpits. But the Bible says it means, the context of the language being interpreted, if you don't like the meaning, oh, you just change it into what you wanted. It won't change. You may not like it. Well, that means I've got to hate people. That means I've got to separate from people. And God ain't hate. God is love. Salvation belongs to a people that are his, that love him and keep his laws and commandments. He hasn't changed in the last 7,000 years. I don't think he's going to change in the next 25,000. The good news is only to his sheep. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people, not to the strangers. He's against that. Go not. Go not. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. That's something you got to do. to give light to them that sit in darkness. Study your word. Do a word search on stranger. 8 different meanings. It could be that the translators have slipped in on you unaware, having you worship with the devil and the enemies and the strangers, and promising you a future rapture. You want to wait on a lightning bolt, such as came through the Southland. I mean, it was awful. You've seen pictures on the television. It only shows you a little of what is bad. This Bible Belt of people professing God who say they love Him and will not do a word search, and when you read it to them and when you explain it to them and make it sure, they say, oh, we don't believe in that. We can't have that. Well, that's hatred. That's racial. God told us not to be like that. Jesus loves everybody. You know what? What do you want to be called a soldier for if you don't want to separate from the enemy? If you ain't got no enemy, pull your arm out. Lay it down. Lay it aside. Being a coward or not willing to face the truth, not willing to study to show yourself a workman, separating yourself from every thing that's dishonest. The biblical jurisdiction of Adamic Adam man to show blood in the face in order to keep his laws and his orders, in order to keep the divine calling to manifest the destiny that is anointed in the Word of God through divine words that were given for your learning. If you refuse to learn, if you put your head in the sand, if you turn your head and a closer examination of these words given to you by true prophets, you'd rather have a pawnbroker pulpit carnival balker giving you a church state government of unrighteous leadership and a nation turning away from the Word instead of to the Word, saying, oh, we know it says that, but God don't mean that. God loves everybody. You're not a soldier? Quit fighting. Pull off your honor. Sit down. If the Word don't mean what it says,
say, well, we'll lose all of our people before we start preaching that, Pastor Bates. And we got to have a certain number of people to come in here and to keep the promises of our contract and our mortgages, because the bankers would come in
and take away our building. You think more about the building of brick and mortar and your mortgage, then you're no longer a kinsman who is a blood relative who can only redeem his own kind. That's why that our Redeemer came to redeem his sheep. Only his sheep will hear his word. And I've preached myself out of a message here tonight. The word stranger, sponsored tonight by Brother Paul 1-800-253-2748. Give Brother Paul a call. I got to get out there. You can call me. Area code 423-351-1082. Write me. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37874. That's not New Tazewell, it's Sweetwater, Pastor Buddy. And the box number is 568. Well, write us at Sweetwater, Tennessee. I got to get out of here. I'm late. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night on the early show. Pastor Buddy tonight. Yahweh bless.